All right. We're going to try to finish things up. I don't know. I just overstuff the turkey often with scriptures and things like that. So I don't know if we'll get so things up tonight, but anyway. Hallelujah. We're going to talk about evil spirits, but not just that, but how to overcome them. Amen? Mm-hmm. And that's the key. We don't need to get into fear about anything, but turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And people always, you know, kind of disregard the spiritual realm, and everything's natural, everything's in your mind, everything's, you know, I'm going to figure everything out. And, you know, the Bible talks about let us come reason together with the Lord. There is a reasoning, there is a study, show yourself approved, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. And there is a study portion of that. We know that the Apostle Paul, which was Saul, became the Apostle Paul. He said, I'm a Pharisee of Pharisees. So he is one that was, you know, very, I would just say one of the qualifications in that time period was to have what we call the Pentateuch, which is the first five books of what we call our Bible, memorized. So, you know, they took it very, very literal. And so there's definitely, you know, God wants us to use our mind and think about things, and but not to rely on that. See, because we use up here as far as we know, but then there's just that gap and there and that stopping point where our understanding ends and God has a pickup and the Holy Ghost has to help us moving forward. And so, you know, that's where sometimes you'll find things in your life where you may not understand what's going on. That's why it's wise to have the spirit realm and to be led by the spirit, because guess what? You have all of these potentials, but what's the right answer? I was laughing. The girls were, we were talking about school. And okay, I wasn't really a scholar in school. All right, I'll just say that right now, you know, as far as like all the way up to, I started trying about my junior year of high school. I'm like, I should probably start studying, you know? Partying and having fun with my friends and playing sports is probably not good. Not going to be good for me long term. But I remember I was in tech school, and a buddy of mine, he and I, we played baseball together, and his mom was one of my professors in college and everything. And it was, I don't remember what it was, I was doing electronics. It was, I have a degree in electronics, so anyway, but it was years ago. So I went to was in tech school, community college there, and I'd be like, hey, Brenda, you know, this or that. And she'd say, well, it's not B, and, you know, it can be A, but it could be C or D. She'd always sneak me the answers. I'm like, okay, I'll think about it. And I'll come back. But, you know, Holy Ghost is like that. He's going to give you the answer, right? Yeah. We can, on the inside, things just don't line up. Things just kind of weird. You don't know why things are happening, but he's going to come and say, okay, you know, you're going to have several choices, and the Holy Spirit's going to lead you and guide you down the direction, right? And the devil doesn't want you, the enemy doesn't want you to have it. See, that's why Jesus was so successful in his ministry on the earth, was because he was not, you know, the devil always wants to give you like A or B choice, and Jesus always came in like, no, it's M is the answer, right? Because the devil, like the woman that was caught in, you know, in adultery, well, you know, he who sins first cast the first stone. So the Pharisees were right. And but Jesus is like, well, you're right, you can stone her, but then he came back with an answer that nobody expected. And again, that's all Holy Ghost driven. So again, when we're looking at things, we need to go on the inside and see what really makes sense. You know, we were kind of laughing. Well, we weren't laughing, but Linda was talking. We were talking about cars earlier and on prayer call, and she called and was talking about car because she got it. She got a new car? It wouldn't start tonight. Okay, all right. So she got a new car. It's sweet looking. She sent me a picture. I'm like, wow. So anyway, getting the bugs worked out. But anyway, we were talking about things, and we just bought a car here recently. And interesting things, we were looking at a car, and this has something to do with where we're going. So it's all going to tie together in the end. So on. But we were looking at a car, and it was a nice car. It was okay. Because we're, you know, trying to acquire cars for, we got people that are going to be driving soon. So anyway, stay off the roads. But I'm kidding. They're going to be great drivers in the name of Jesus. It's going to go well. All right. They're not going to have my anger issues. I'm kidding. But I have road rage and I have to try to, in Jesus' name, I love you. But so we were looking at a car and it looked nice. Everything was great. And you know what? On the inside, it was just, I had nothing on it. We pull up and we found one two doors down, literally, that came up right when Adrian was looking. And I'm like, well, let's go look at that. Sure enough, there was one that had leather seats, all the bells and whistles, you know, especially that reverse camera thing, especially when you're first driving. Oh, yeah. We need that one, right? But anyway, you know what I had? I had a stick. It didn't have any air conditioning. You know, that was my first car, right? And I should have drove that thing right off a cliff. But but it was a car, and it had four wheels, and it got me from point A to point B. But it just pays to be obedient to the Holy Spirit and listen, amen? Because one thing looked great, and then guess what? It was just right. Because we actually left and went. We were down the highway, going to head home, and all of a sudden, we're like, ooh, it was right next door. It was a dealership. They just got it just now. And so again, it's just kind of on the inside. And that's very important. Galatians chapter 5, we'll start in verse 16, and it says, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the people at Galatia, and he said, then I said, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Now, I want to read through this, verse 17, and it says, for the Spirit lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Here we go. But if you are be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law, right? Because the Holy Spirit's never going to lead you to do something that's bad. Right? And you know, if the Holy Spirit tells you to go steal, or you think it's the Holy Spirit, you hear this voice, oh, go steal this, go do this, go, you know, hit them, go do this, go do that. That's not the Holy Spirit, because it doesn't line up with the Word, right? So then it goes on and it says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. And it goes through adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Heresies. Wrong teachings, right? You know, people get into, I'll tell you this, hell is loaded with people that are full of heresies. Right? Wrong teachings, purposely leading people the wrong way. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I, as I told you before, I have also told you in times past that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Here we go, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. Now I want to stop there for a moment. And even those called the works of the flesh, these are things that are characteristics of the enemy. Right? So they don't come from God. Let's look at James chapter 4. I'm going to read the Amplified, so we got time tonight. Right? Well, overbrought your comfy. Your stadium seat tonight. We're going to read out the Amplified. James chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, what leads to the unending quarrels and conflicts among you? Do they not come from your hedonistic desires that wage war in your bodily members, fighting for control over you? Did you know there's a war going on with you? There's a war going on with you every day about things. You are jealous and covet what others have, and your lust goes unfulfilled, so you murder. You are envious and cannot obtain the object of your envy, so you fight in battle. You do not have because you do not ask it of God. You ask God for something and you don't receive it. because you ask with what wrong motives, out of selfishness or with your unrighteous agenda, so that when you get what you want, you may spend it on your hedonistic desires, your adulterousness, disloyal sinners, flirting with the world and breaking your vow to God. Do you not know that being the world's friend, that is loving the things of the world, is being God's enemy? King James says enmity, which is what? Hostility towards God, right? So whoever chooses to be the friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says to have purpose, to no purpose, that the human spirit, which he has made to dwell in us, lusts with envy? But he gives us more and more grace. Here we go. Hallelujah. Through the power of the Holy Spirit to defy sin and live an obedient life that reflects both our faith and our gratitude for our salvation. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud and haughty, but continually gives the grace, the gift of grace to the humble who turn away from self-righteousness. So submit to the authority of God, resist the devil, stand firm against him, and he will flee from you. I want to stop right there just a moment. You know, there's a lot of stuff here that we said, but he's saying that all these people are dealing with things, but it's coming from, and there's this, again, there's this war going on. You're fighting over control of your bodily members. But what is he saying here? He's saying that you're trying to ask for things and see things, but you're not resisting the enemy. And what am I saying is, we open the door to the enemy often is because often, how many people are flirting? You know, I remember being in, younger, and especially when you're in churches and sometimes, and I remember especially being in like youth group and stuff, and not everybody in youth group are saved, right? And so you've got these, you know, often kids or, you know, when I was in youth group, that you kind of like the world. You know, a lot of people are like this. We like the world and we're flirting with the world. I mean, to say, it's either, God's either like, you're either committed to me or you're not. And so Paul is talking about, you know, these people are kind of flirting with the world. The Amplified talks about you're flirting with the world and then things aren't working right for you. And then what happens? You're getting over into the flesh, right? And that war that's going on with you, you're losing the war. Why? Because it says here, submit yourself to God. First, we got to be committed to him. We're going to open up the door to the enemy when we are flirting with the world. And there's this big debate about people, about drinking and stuff, you know, and the Christian things. Like, you know, posted sometime on media or something about drinking, and I got all attacked for the stuff about drinking. And it's like, well, that's kind of flirting with the world, right? I mean, if you're going to be a Christian, then what are we going to do here? And why do you think they call it wine and spirits? It's for a reason, right? Let me just ask you this, you know, and of course nobody's been around, but if you've ever been around people that are drunk, you ever notice that people, their behaviors are so unpredictable? You know, I've been around people before, unfortunately, and they're drunk, and they're just the happiest people. They're just, you know, they just act all happy. Hey, man, what's going on, man? And then you get somebody else that's just mean as snot. You ever notice that? Why? Because they're opening themselves up to spirits. Right? They're opening themselves up. When you're on drugs, people are like, well, I was like on this other planet and everything. No, they really are, because they're opening themselves up to a realm that the demons are coming and saying, okay, we're going to mess with you, right? Everybody focuses on the chemical thing, but what happens is you're opening yourself into a gateway into a spiritual realm when you're opening yourselves up to demonic forces to allow you to operate and for them to operate in your life. And they attach to you and they do things. And again, that's why, just like this scripture talks about, you're flirting with the world and you're opening yourself up to the enemy. And then when you want to stand or you believe for things or do things, then it never works. Why? Because you're opening yourself up to the enemy. I remember years ago, a pastor called me, pastor of our church years ago, and he said, hey, you want to go to this guy's house? he's got stuff floating around his house and all these weird manifestations and stuff. I'm like, at that time, okay. Like, whatever. So we went there, and the guy was just paralyzed with fear. Like, he would not go out of his house. And he couldn't even function, couldn't even do things, right? And you walk in, and you sense this thing there. Well, we went in, took authority over it. And shortly after that, he started coming to church. Shortly after that, got his own business. He actually started working. And what happened, because he'd done some things, he opened himself up to the enemy. And then when we took authority over that thing, and everything stopped. But it took somebody coming in and realizing, okay, you're opening the door up to the enemy because you're doing this, you're doing this, and you're doing this. And you continue to do this, you're going to have this thing opening up to you. Well, guess what? It stopped right there that day. We're still friends with them. So the point is this, that, you know, when you're doing things, you can open yourself up to the enemy. You can. We see in the scripture, I have a scripture, I don't know if we're going to get there tonight or not, but you can open yourself up to sickness and disease, and Jesus cured people. But what did he do? He dealt with the spirit. See, we're not looking for, again, we're not looking for demons or evil spirits in our Cheerios, but the point is this, we're led by the inward witness, and we need to go through a litmus test as believers and say, okay, Brother Hagin talked about a lot of the people that had cancer, some other things in their life, and they had sickness. The first place that he started was unforgiveness, right? Unforgiveness will open you up to the door of the enemy every time. That's why the Bible talks about love your neighbor as yourself, love the Lord thy God with entire heart, and your neighbor as yourself. Because you get out of love walk, you get grumpy with people or attitudes towards people. Hey, it's not hurting them, it's hurting you. And that's where, you know, anytime in your life you want to start examining yourself and say, okay, how did I miss it? Because I'll do that sometimes too. I'm like, okay, this isn't, what am I missing something here? What's going on? John chapter 5, verse 14. John chapter 5, verse 14. This is the account, and we're going to show you some scriptures here too. John chapter 5, verse 14, excuse me. This is the lame man at the pool of Bethesda, remember? And there was a once a year, there was an angel that would come down and stir the waters, and then the first one in the pool would get healed. Well, you know, he's looking for somebody to help him in the pool. And now this is after Jesus heals him, right? So Jesus heals him and he comes back. And here we go, verse 14. Afterwards, Jesus found him in the temple and said unto him, behold, you're made whole. Sin no more. Here we go. Lest a worse thing come upon you. So what does it mean by this? Now, it doesn't mean that, you know, it means Jesus healed absolute. Jesus never healed a Christian, ever. Every person was a sinner that Jesus healed. Nobody was born again. You got to realize that, okay? Didn't heal anybody that were. So you think that, yo, I got to be all perfect and everything. No, his grace is sufficient for everybody, okay? But as believers, we need to get into the Word and grow up in things, right? You know, we've had people come to, you know, it's amazing how we have like special speakers and things like that. And I don't have anything, you know, because sometimes the other ministers come in or, you know, other believers from other churches. But it's amazing how many people they come to get their Holy Ghost fix. Right? They're just here to, you know, get the experience. Well, I'm not saying they don't love God. I mean, they're not genuine, but there's a lot of people, they're coming just to have a Holy Ghost fix, right? I got to get a word. I got to have this. I need the big wow. I need the ooh, ooh, all this other things, right? And then they fade into their work. They're never in church. They're never growing. They're never developing or anything else. But there comes a point we got to grow up. And that's where the Apostle Paul is so really good about getting in. When we get into the Word, we study things because we need to grow up, right? I mean, as a pastor, you don't want a bunch of babies. You know, I don't want to be changing diapers all the time. Why? Because I need people, we need people in the body of Christ to grow up, to pull other people up with you, right? We don't need a bunch of babies in the kingdom anymore, right? Because, you know, I remember... I pastor one time, and I'm here to counsel people. I'm here to help you out. I'm not a real sit down, counsel-y, talk through things, because I'm like, okay, let's pray this thing out. Is there a spirit involved? What am I doing here? What are we doing here? And I mean, I like to talk and fellowship with people, but I remember, you know, one of the pastors I had, I mean, people just sit there forever in his office and talk about things and talk about things and talk about things. And then, you know, 4 hours later, you're still talking about things. It's like, ever going to get this thing fixed? I mean, it's just like multiple times. It's like, when are we going to grow up, right? We've talked about this 12 times before. But somehow, we're going through the same steps again, right? So, you know, and I want to be very compassionate to people, but on the other hand, it's like, I mean, we got to grow up at some point. You know, we got to grow and develop. We got to get out of this babyhood. We need to be led by the Spirit. We need to do things, right? That's why we're not, well, I'm looking for this act to confirm what I'm doing. If this happens, then this must be God. Mm-mm, that's Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Testament. We live in now. Those who are led by Spirit are my sons and daughters. Are what? Led by my Spirit, right? So we got to grow and develop in some things. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Am I boring you tonight? I hope not. Matthew 16, 13. We'll start there. And it says, when Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, say that fast 10 times. There you go, dare you. Spell it. I have a spelling bee. I want you to spell Caesarea Philippi. Could you use that in a sentence, please? Spell it. And he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am? The Son of Man. Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Verse 14, and they said, some say that you are John the Baptist, which is ridiculous, right? Why would it be John the Baptist when they were alive at the same time and their cousins? But whatever. That's not even, I always just laugh at that because I'm thinking, okay, that's not even reincarnation, because if you're alive at the same time, it's like, I don't get that, but whatever. Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. In verse 15, and he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And here we go. Big shot Peter now coming up. Simon, excuse me at that time. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also, and I say also to you, Peter, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, Peter is not the rock, okay? I know the Catholics think that Peter is the rock, that he's... No, he's talking about the concept that Christ is the Son of living God, that Jesus is the Son of God. That's the rock. He's talking about a concept, not a person, okay? So I just want to clarify that. A lot of good Catholics out there. We're not bashing Catholics, but... I'm just saying that Peter is not the rock. The revelation Peter had is the rock. Is that understandable? Okay. But anyway, okay, so Peter's flying high, man. Him and Jesus are like this. He's got it down. He's the man with the plan. He's awesome. Okay, oops, things are going to change here in a minute. Let's go down to 21, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples that he must go into Jerusalem and he'll suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and raised from the dead again the third day. Oh, here's Peter. Man, I knocked it out of the park last time. I'm going to really knock it out of the park this time. You just watch. And then what's he say? And he began to rebuke Jesus. Okay, I'm not going to rebuke Jesus. If I'm the disciples, I'm like, I'm not going to rebuke Jesus. Saying, oh, be far from you, Lord. Oh, this shall not happen to you. And he turned and he said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Now, wait a minute. Here he is. He just got a revelation from the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus said, oh, the Holy Spirit revealed that to you. And then we're just seeing now that after he's calling him the devil. Or so is it, let me ask you this, is it something that we as believers can be functioning by the Holy Spirit today and give heed to the enemy tomorrow? Can we be influenced by things? It doesn't mean we're necessarily going to go to hell or anything else, but what it does mean is sometimes the enemy is going to influence us to do things, even though we may be born. You know what? I believe Peter had good intentions, but what? We're seeing that the enemy was trying to influence him, right? Now, it sounds really great, It sounds very spiritual. It sounds like, but what was that? Why Jesus reacted that way was because the ultimate destiny was for Christ to go to the cross, redeem us all, so that we can, you know, he can take the keys of death, hell, and the grave, according to Revelation chapter 1, right? Sometimes we don't realize it, but we're, you know, people can be influenced, even though they're born again, maybe they're even spirit-filled, the enemy can come along. Why was it so detrimental? Because he was being used as a vessel to try to get Jesus off of his destiny. And so, you know, just because one day we're flying high and everything's great, beware, because deception could come around the corner tomorrow. And that's why we've got to guard ourselves, right? Peter had a wonderful revelation, but then all of a sudden, the enemy whispered in his ear. Let me just tell you this. A third of the angels fell because of suggestion. Now, I think they're the biggest morons that have ever existed, ever. When you are hanging out with God in heaven, everything's perfect, right? You got no bills. Everything's wonderful, right? Wonderful music. Everybody can sing so much. Everybody can sing so much better than I can. It's going to be wonderful, right? Think about heaven and going, this place stinks. I'm going to figure it out. I got a better plan. All right. You know, you've got to have, mental issues that are just off the charts. But my point is that if God can be in a situation like that and the enemy can come along and whisper, watch it, because, you know, we can... And to say, the devil kept trying to get Jesus off of his assignment the whole time, even when he's on the cross. What were they saying? Oh, well, call down 10 legions of angels and take yourself off. See, it was still tempting to get him off of assignment the whole time. So the enemy was using Peter to try to get him off of his assignment and to abort his destiny. We see the Sanhedrin and the religious folks at the cross trying to get him all the time, right? Again, the devil isn't going to come along and go, boogity boogity, I'm the devil, I'm here to deceive you. He's going to use people that you trust, people to speak into your lives, right? They have that sounds like a good idea. Well, I've had good ideas that went train wreck. Good ideas are not often God ideas. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. So you may be doing the right thing, but... you can be influenced to do the wrong thing. And that's why you've got to be so led by the Spirit to do things often. Romans chapter 1, verse 24 says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. I want to stop there for a minute, okay? You can write this down if you want to. You got 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3, 2 Peter 3, 3, Jude 1, 16 and 18. Now, I want to stop there for a minute. All of those scriptures deal with your lusts, right? All talks about the enemy trying to lead you away on your lusts. Can I just stop for a minute and just say this? I am never going to break in a store and steal Hallmark movies or purses. I'm telling you right now. I know it's a shocker, right? It's just never going to happen. I'm never going to go in and steal high-heeled shoes. I'm telling you. I mean, honest. I'm not lying, okay? Why? Because that's not my trigger. That's not my bag, baby, okay? I don't want Hallmark movies, okay? It is like capital punishment for men in other countries. I'm convinced of that. It's like, is there no mercy here? Amen. It's like, no, please help me. Lock me up in prison for 10 years, not the Hallmark movies. But, you know, the devil is not going to tempt you and use vices that don't work on you, right? Like I said earlier, sometimes when I get driving and everything, I have to repent all the way home, because I'd get so mad at people all the time. Especially this. I love this. I'm sitting there like, and I'm at a stop sign and the person in front of me is doing this trick, you know, and then I'm like, I'm the honk. I I'm in confession time here, okay? You're all my priests, okay? I'm going to confess to you my sins, right? We see James, it says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed and restored. But I was the other day, I was sitting there, and I was on the interstate, and I'm going along, I don't remember what I was doing, and then all of a sudden this lady started drifting my lane, and I pulled over, and I turned around, and she looked at me, she went, ooh, and I went... I went like that, and I think she got the picture, but anyway, I was like, you're not going to kill me, I'm going to see Jesus, but it ain't going to be today, okay, it's not going to happen, but the point is, the devil is going to use your vices, right, okay, now, I have a good friend of mine that deals with homosexuality. And everywhere he goes, he is tempted with that, right? I don't deal with that. So what does that mean? The devil is going to come along and use your vices to tempt you. And you got to know what, again, your potential weaknesses are and guard those, right? And so, you know, like me, I had issues drinking at one time. Well, guess what? I'm not, at that time... I knew that, okay, if I'm going to turn my life around, I can't go play in bars anymore, right? Because I kept getting offers to come and everything, and then these people, you know, good offers, but I was thinking, okay, you got drug problems. You know, like, a couple of guys had drug problems, a couple of guys had, you know, massive drinking problems. Like, oh, that's just perfect. Yeah, that's what I need to do. No, I need to run from, I need to submit to God, resist the devil, and flee. What does submit to God mean? Do what he tells me to. Recognize those areas in your life, right? So I'm not going to run to temptation, but I'm going to flee from sin. The Bible talks about. So the enemy is going to come. He's going to try to get your vice, right? For me, I'm driving along. You know, my whole thing is road rage. I got to, you know, anger issues with road rage. The love it. And, you know, like me, and I can overeat steak. You know, I'm just saying right now, I mean, I could get a glutton. You know, I could eat like I'm 18 years old sometimes. But I had to go like, okay, I gotta step back here. You know, can't be eating this stuff. Even last night, I ate something. I woke up this morning. I'm like, why did I eat that? You know, I started condemning myself. You ever had that before? You know, and even the whole time while I'm eating, and I'm thinking, stop! And I'm just like, I can't stop. Help Jesus! And I'll do that sometimes, right? I have these. I love salt stuff. Okay, I know it's confession time, but these are my vices, right? I'm just telling you, I'm a salty guy, and so last night I was eating the salty stuff, and all the time I'm going, on the inside I was like, stop eating this, or, you know, I like horribly hot stuff, and I was eating, you know, like I've eaten hot stuff before, and I'll wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and like, I hate myself, Jesus, please deliver me, Lord. Why did I do this to myself, you know? It's like the, you know, the drug addict doing this stuff. I hate what I'm doing. But I wake up sometimes. I'm like, Jesus, help me. Why did I do this? I'm still stupid. I can't learn my lesson, you know. So it's like the drunk people, they throw up in the morning, you know, with the hangover. And they're like, God, I'm not going to do this anymore. And that's me with the spicy stuff. So anyway, but that's what the lust that I have to deal, right? That's something I got to deal with. I got to change things. And I know that it's like, okay, you know, I've eaten things, and I visited the doctor before, and he's like, dude, you got to lay off the stuff because, you know, you're going to burn your gut up. So, but it's one of those things where you've got to control yourself, and they're just things that the devil's going to come along your life and try to get you off track, right? And so, you know, there's just some things that we need to to focus on, but John chapter 9, verse 1 through 3, I want to read this, and then we'll kind of wrap up here and go eat. Yeah. Okay, I will confess, everybody knows, years ago at the old building, I talked about food like every day. I mean, all the time. And I have kind of slowed down a little bit. I did mention food last week, though, so I mean, it's been a couple weeks now. So, yeah, so anyway, I'm just saying eat before you come to church. All right, can you do that? Oh my gosh. When's it going to be over with? Is he done yet? Just about. John chapter 9, 1 through 3, it says, and as Jesus passed by, here we go. He saw a man which is blind from birth. Now, I want to help you see what the Hebrews saw. Verse 2, and it says, and his disciples asked him, here we go, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the Old Testament scripture, we see Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see Deuteronomy chapter 30. I mean, we can touch base on those, but the point is, under the law, you sin, you open yourself up, and you die. Because that's why you go to the priest and offer sacrifices. Why? To cover your sins. Now today it's kind of cute to sin. You know, that's where the whole thing. But the point is, it opens you up. And Jesus answered, verse 3, neither has this man sinned nor his parents, but the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, this is not licensed to say, oh, well, they did that so that God made him this way, so it would, you know. No, God's not testing people. He's not making people lame, because he thinks it's cute or he wants to show off and do something. No, there was an opportunity there and God received glory from it. So Jesus wasn't really focused on the negative, but he was saying, okay, God's going to receive glory out of this. And then Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 and 20. This is my last scripture. Maybe. I don't know if I feel like it. Deuteronomy, he says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore, what? Choose life that both you and your seed may live. I'm telling you what, it's very important for us to choose life because so that our kids can have life too. Very, 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 very important. Very, 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 very important. And verse 30, it says that you may love the Lord thy God, and you may obey his voice, and that you may cleave unto him, for he is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and to give them. I think, well, and then you can always read Deuteronomy chapter 28. That's about the blessings and the cursings. And the cursings are so gross, I don't even want to read them in church.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad. Like, talking about weird pussy stuff coming out of your body and all kinds of stuff. It's real delicious. Yeah, it's just, no, it's disgusting. And we see people who are doing things, it's like they're dealing with all kinds of issues in their life. You're opening yourself up to things. And what happens is when you with sin, it opens you up to the enemy to come in and invade your life. But guess what? When you obey God, it's like we said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he's going to flee from you. When we submit to God, that opens us the blessings and the Holy Spirit to come in and lead us and guide us and do things in our life. I want God in my body, in my mind, and of course, this is the born again, my spirit, and the Holy Spirit upon me. I want the full manifest presence of God all over me, no matter where I go. No matter where I go, right? I want to pass that on to my kids and their kids, right? Okay, I'm going to read a few more real quick. Luke 7:21, it says, in that same hour, this is talking about Jesus, he cured many of their infirmities and plagues, here we go, and of what? Evil spirits, and said unto many that were blind, he gave sight. So what does that mean? That means that many of the things that these people dealt with that he cured and healed them from were evil spirits operating in their life. Luke 8:2 says, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. She was dealing with infirmities and things in her body. It was because it was something spiritually was attacking her, right? And attaching to her. Acts 19:12. So that from his body were brought unto him the sick with handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them. Here we go. And the evil spirits went out of them. So you notice how often in the Bible it talks about evil spirits, and it also talks about diseases and healings from sickness and disease and evil spirits in conjunction with it. Because I'm just going to say something. Sometimes sickness and disease is a mask for the devil. It always does. But I'm saying sometimes there are things where the enemy will attach itself or cause things in people's bodies. I remember being at Rhema and, you know, Brother Hagin talking about different people being healed from different things. And this guy had a massive headache, and he said it looked like a weird-looking monkey wrapped around his head. And he spoke to it, and that thing just dropped off and walked off. And so sometimes we see that, you know, the enemy is hiding behind sickness and disease sometimes. And that's why it's be led by the Spirit. That's why it's important to have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, according to 2 Corinthians there. And it said one of them is discerning of spirits. So you can tell what's going on. And the Holy Spirit will give you an understanding of that. Not only against doctors, but sometimes when you medicate people and do things, sometimes it doesn't cure it, it just masks things. I want to be cured from things, right? And if you need to go to the doctor, go to the doctor. I'm not against doctors, I'm not against medicine. People, you know, actually getting help. But, and again, we're not saying that everything is a devil, and we're not looking for, you know, devils in our SpaghettiOs or anything like that. But what I am saying is that we need to be open to some things and say, "What God, what is really going on in my life? What's really going on here?" And actually stop and listen. That's a key. You know what? Sometimes God just doesn't go, "Hey, I'm going to give you the answer right now." Because sometimes I'll be praying. Even today I was sitting there on my bed, just kind of sitting there meditating and praying. And he's speaking about things that I didn't even talking about. And he's going to reveal things to you when he wants you to know things. Now, sometimes there, you know, I remember my Rhema, and you know, Gary Crowell was dean of Rhema one time. And they were in Mount Pleasant. He was pastoring there, and they were going to a Christmas party in the church. I mean, the church had a Christmas party, and they were going down a gravel road. It's all, you know, it's like around here. You know, you get on some of these gravel roads and stuff, and it's not lit up. You just have your headlights, and that's about it. Going along there, and there's a big black Angus bull right there. He blended into to the night, and he's going along, and he said, just said, "Jesus." And that, he says, it was supernatural. That thing just turned around, just turned sideways supernaturally, and it went. He goes, "Well, we were going to T-bone it." He goes, no pun intended. But, and I'm talking about food again. Sorry, guys. Sorry, I apologize. That was a delicious story. I mean, but the point is, sometimes we don't have time to make this big, flowery, wonderful, you know, let me speak the scripture. Sometimes just, "Jesus, help," right? And he's always there to help, you know. But that's kind of the exception, not the rule, you know, because oftentimes we have time to pray and get in the Word and listen to him. But, you know, there are those times in life where you just need help, Jesus, and he's there. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Father, we come before you tonight. We thank you so much for your victory by the blood of Jesus and the stripes tonight. We are healed, we are delivered in the powerful name of Jesus that has delivered us from death, hell, and the grave tonight. We glorify you. We give you glory and honor. You're so wonderful, Lord. We praise you tonight. And I just speak tonight that every person here is delivered in the name of Jesus. There's freedom in the name of Jesus. For me, any demonic hindrance in anything in anyone's life, Lord, we say that it's broken off of them, and there's freedom because of your victory to cross, and you delivered us, and we glorify and we thank you so much in Jesus' name. But before we leave, if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know, make that decision tonight. Amen. Come up. We want to pray for you. We want to share some scriptures with you. But amen. Everybody, have a great week. Amen. Amen.